He had one heck of a cold. He couldn't get rid of it. Stick Whistler was his name. He had a cold that was so embedded in his head that it took literally 4 sandbags soaked in hot water for 2.5 hours to soften up his brain a little bit in his nasal passages so that he could actually talk, look around, and walk. I mean, you have to remember, if your brain's frozen solid, you probably lose your balance. You know, chances are very good you're going to fall to the left or the right, front or the back, maybe even straight down. I mean, you have to just concentrate fully on getting that brain and your nasal passages thawed out. That's where the sandbags of hot water came into play. He'd lay one super hot sandbag down, and then he'd put his head on it. Then he'd take the other one that has really nice hot water, and he'd put it on top of his head, and he'd just sit there, and he'd be like a sandwiched in between these sandbags full of hot water. 2.5 hours, roughly. Well, when he was all done, he came out. His face was a little red, no doubt about it. But he felt a lot better. The nasal passages drained. And he didn't feel like his head was hard as a rock anymore, like it actually thawed out. I mean, he felt his forehead kind of soft a little bit. Not bad. He did pretty good. So he found the solution to that problem. But of course, with anything, there's always another problem. And the problem was, is that his feet were having a conflict. Each foot was trying to stay away from the other foot. I don't know if they were told to when they were kids or what, but one foot, his left foot, for example, was always trying to hide from the right foot. And when the right foot walked out and saw the left foot, it would try to hide from the left foot. So both feet were in conflict with each other, and they just couldn't get along. Once they got close to each other, they started banging each other and popping, and the toes would spread open. One would try to grab the other, and they clinch each other with their toes and stuff, and they just grab each other and pull them back and forth, and one would drag the other foot all the way across the bed to the other side, and then that foot would drag the other foot all the way back to the other side of the bed. It was just a madness. I don't know what was happening, but there had to be some kind of a solution. And we didn't know what it was for almost 6 years. They went on like this. The toes were black and blue. The ankles were like swelled up. And don't forget that we have a situation here where it happens all the time, whether they were in shoes or not. And Susie Quattro, which is not related to the music star Susie Quattro, but Susie used to think she knew all the answers. And in this particular case, she may have the answer, because she said, put your feet in bags and then tie them up with a string around them and put magnets on the outside of each one so that they repel each other, so that they won't have to attack each other in the middle of the night. Or if you're walking around, you won't find that problem where they attack each other and then you trip and fall. She said, put magnets there. And so they did. In fact, the one person, this particular person that it was happening to, and there was another one in another state, but that's a story in itself. But this particular person took round magnets and put them on the ankles of his feet, and it worked wonderful. He could walk down the street without any issues, just a normal straight walk. He put on long pants legs so nobody could see the magnets. And from that day forward, everything was perfectly fine. Never had an issue whatsoever. And then, of course, as with anything, there's always something that's just not working right. For example, Teddy, who was not older than probably 8 years old, he wanted to ride in a balloon, not a blimp or something like that. He wanted to ride in an actual balloon. Well, surprising, there's actually a balloon that could actually hold him. Now, these are like weather balloons. They're probably as big as a car. And he wanted to get inside that and go up into the air and float over town. Well, that would seem like a near impossibility, but they suggested this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you an oxygen tank, a pair of goggles, some weather gear, because you're going to need to do some sampling for us while you're up there, and also some clothing that's going to keep you warm in the high altitude. He thought, great, great, that's a terrific idea. So here he was, standing next to a balloon that wasn't even inflated yet, but they had two big giant canisters of helium waiting to fill up the balloon. Well, here he was. How am I going to get in that thing, he said. Well, what they did, you know where you blow up the balloon, that little nozzle there? Well, they had some big sticks, and they just stuck them into this here, and they stretched them back and opened them up, and they held it open while he stepped into the balloon. And then when they stepped in, they said, now, don't panic or anything. We're just going to fill this up with helium, so don't worry about it. Everything's going to be just fine, okay? So when you go up in the air, it'll take you up to approximately 2,000-3,000 feet and higher, depending upon the wind gusts and the airstream and all that. But once you're up there, would you please turn that little dial there, that number one dial, and then go over to the right and push that red button and then down to the bottom, flip that switch, and that'll send out a signal to us and it'll start to monitor the weather conditions at that altitude. Now, do you think you can remember that? He said, sure, I can remember that, and that's not a problem. So here they go. They started to fill up the balloon. They stuffed hoses in there. And they closed off the opening, and they kept pumping and pumping and pumping. The balloon was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. They said, don't walk around in there. You'll scuff it on the ground, and you'll probably pop it. So just sit down where it's nice and soft on your back, and just when you start going up, then you can stand up after a while. You've got your footies on. Now, footies are little pieces of cloth that you can slip on your shoes so that you don't make tracks on the floor or something. But it kind of protects the shoe from causing problems to the floor. And in this case, it was going to protect the balloon from being broken by a sharp object on the shoe or even a part of the shoe. So he had his footies on. He said, okay, now when you get up in the air, we'll talk by walkie-talkie. I'll tell you when you can stand up, and then you can probably do all the testing and stuff when you're up there, all right? You understand? And he had his mask on and so with oxygen and stuff because he had the oxygen tanks in there. And he would say, like, don't you understand just what you're saying? So they could barely understand him, but they kind of figured it out. So they finally got it all filled up with air, or should say helium, because that's what's going to lift him up because helium is lighter than air. And away they go. Away they go up into the sky. They go, make sure that's tied very good. Now put that band on there. And just as he was about 4 feet off the ground, they hurry up and put that band and tightened it as tight as they could get. And away they went up. And the big balloon up into the air, going up past over the roof of that one building and passed up and over the tree. And he was up inside of that thing wondering, holy smokes, I'm really moving along here. I feel myself like I'm moving up or something. Here I am. I'm moving right along. And there they went. He was up in the sky. It was just minutes away now. He's going to have to start communicating with those people down below. Was he going to be able to do it? Would he do it? Would he even want to do something like that? The answer, yes. And so he did. He communicated most of the day, got all kinds of weather information and all that, and he wrote it all down, and they recorded some of it, and pretty soon the helium was starting to thin out, and he started to come back to ground. Well, the problem was he was about 400 or 500 miles away by now because of the jet stream he was in, and they dragged him all the way down to the other part of the state. And he landed in some kind of a park. I don't know what kind of a park it was, but it was a park that had a bathing area, and it had some kind of a, looked like a slide of some sort. It looked like maybe an entertainment park of some sort. But in any case, he landed in there, and the big balloon landed, and the kids all gathered around this big, giant balloon. And some said it's red, some said it was green, some said it was white, but I think it changed colors as it went through the sky like that. It looked kind of green to me. Maybe it was from all the high-altitude air and wind and stuff like that caused that. It almost popped at one time because you could see a crack on the side of it. But all the kids gathered around this big balloon, and they didn't know what it was. It just came from out of the sky and landed. Some people were screaming, UFO! UFO! And other kids were just saying, well, what the heck is that thing anyway? Is it made out of rubberized material of some sort, from some form of UFO material? And they didn't know what it was. Well, the kid inside was starting to take his mask off, but he had to get out of that balloon to breathe air. He knew his oxygen level was going down because he was having a hard time breathing. Well, now he had to take off his little slippers on his feet and start kicking around on the balloon to actually get that thing to pop or something so he could get out of it. And the kids watching this thing saw it tossing all over the place and bouncing here and there. They didn't know he was inside. They didn't know that he was inside bouncing all over the place. So what were they going to do? They just sat there and watched it go wild while the police came and the fire trucks came, the ambulance came, SWAT team even showed up. What was this? What was it? What was it? A UFO, they said? And they just stood by and watched it. The camera crew from TV was there taking movies up and everything. And all the kids were still getting, get back, everybody, get back, get back. And they put up a big tape around it, big yellow tape all the way around this balloon as it sat in the middle just bouncing back and forth. He was trying to get out, but they didn't know that. And he still had his mask on because he had some oxygen left. Well, it wasn't long before he scuffed his foot on this, just at the sharp part of the ground, and the hardness of his shoe hitting together caused the balloon to tear. And when it did, you could hear a big and started to fold and flat down. Everybody, oh my gosh, what's happening? The camera crew started to back up a little bit. Even the firemen and the policemen backed up a little bit. The SWAT team raised their rifles up, and one guy was all set to attack, just jump on top of it, but everything was at a standstill. They wanted to know what was going to happen next. There he was, trying to get out of this big balloon, looking, flopping, flipping around. He said, somebody's in it. Somebody's in it. It's an alien. It's an alien. Get out of here. Everybody get out. And everybody started running this way and that way. And everybody was in just a big tangled mess trying to get away. They all got away and everything was quiet. They're behind bushes, behind trees, behind cars, behind trucks, behind other people. Everybody was hiding from this alien that they thought came from space, outer space. And all of a sudden, he come tearing out. He ripped that balloon open and said, stuck his hat out. Look, it's an alien. Look at his face. But he was wearing this mask and goggles, and he had this big equipment on and this backpack and all these things that just looked, he looked like an alien. He looked like some space monster of some sort and some, like, pilot from some UFO. So he eventually broke himself loose and he looked around. His goggles were all fogged up and everything. He could hardly see, so he took his goggles off and he couldn't believe his eyes. People, he could see little eyes all over the place staring at him, heads sticking up over cars, from behind trees, people sticking up from behind rocks and stuff like that. He could see all this around him, and then he looked, he saw all these soldiers. They were actually the SWAT team, pointing rifles at him. Now he was afraid, and he stuck both arms in the air and said, okay, it's me, it's just me. And they come up to him and realized who he was, and then they got a special report on one of the radios and said, yeah, we're just doing some weather testing here. Did you find a kid in a balloon? Yes, we actually did. Yeah, he left here about, three, 4 hours ago. He just went over. That's why he's over there. He just got caught up in the jet stream. Oh, wow. We just about thought he was a UFO pilot or something. Oh, no. Just put him on a truck and send him back. Whew, they were relieved. That was a big relief. So they grabbed him and pulled him and tugged him and got him free from that big old balloon, and they grabbed his weather gear and all the equipment. They packed him into the back of a truck and they said, okay, buddy, you're going back. So they knew just where to go because the guy told them the exact address, and they got on the highway. They headed out the road and down the highway he went in the back of that truck, and all the way back he kept thinking, I hope I got all that information they were looking for. I hope I was able to help them with that weather report and stuff. And sure enough, he did, because he got just the information they were looking for. Everybody was happy. Of course, the kids were a little disappointed. They wanted to see a UFO or a UFO pilot. But, that's the way it is. People cleaned up the balloon and the mess and where he scuffed around and stuff. They got that all taken care of. But he went all the way back to where he came from, got off the truck and went back home and got some rest. He was so tired. It was quite a long day up there. I don't know how many thousands of feet he was up in the air, but when he got home, he was ready for some real rest. And he sat in his chair a little bit, and he leaned back, and it was one of those recliners, you know, and he just leaned back, and his eyes were just closing, and just getting very, very tired, very, very tired. And he just started to fall asleep, falling asleep. That's what he did. He said, "Oh, man, I had one heck of a day today." And he just leaned back and put his eyes closed and rested his shoulders and rested his hips and his legs and his feet. And he just fell soft to sleep. He fell soft, easy to sleep. And away he went. He took a deep breath and started breathing nice and slow and just relaxed. Relaxed and thought of the day. What a nice day it was. And there he went, soft, 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 to sleep, soft, to sleep, soft, 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 soft